for Pastor Byron that you've put it on his heart, Lord, to do a message on Matthew 3. And I pray this morning that you would use him to speak your heart to us. That you would open his mind for clarity, his speech for conciseness, to speak to our hearts. And Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear what you would have us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you all. It's a great Sunday. It's a great Sunday to remind ourselves of Jesus. And we chose to do a gospel that Gospel of Matthew to just, I don't know, I can always need to increase my view of who Jesus is. And don't let it stagnate, but remember who he is and what he did. This morning, chapter 3 really covers when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. But I thought, you know, we'd start with what did Mark, Luke, and John say about it? When you look at the Gospels, there are certain things in the Gospels that are shared by all three writers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, 4. Poor Matthew got put off the side. But all four, there are some things repeated. So this morning I felt, before we get into Matthew, what did Mark, Luke, and John say about what happened that day? In Mark 1, it says, at that time Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being opened and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the voice that came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, with you all will be well. And some different translations say beloved son. So this is really the Father really identifying with Jesus as his son, his beloved son. Then in Luke it says, and all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. A little different. And as he was praying, as Jesus was communicating with the Father, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice from heaven, you are my son whom I love, with all I am well pleased. John talked about the same thing. And John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. A little different. Jesus and the other writer said in Matthew, Jesus saw. Now John said, I saw. I saw. But the one who sent me baptized with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So John was defining what happened, and he heard it and he saw it and he said, Jesus is the Son of God. He actually is the Son of God. Now with detail, let's do Mark. And it's very important that we know what the other writers said. And there is unity in these writers. So Matthew chapter 3. Father, give me the words that will bless your children in Jesus' name. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judah, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, the voice one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. You know what? That was for the first visit of Jesus on the planet Earth. And to fulfill prophecy, John the Baptist was anointed to prepare the way for Jesus. And he said, and his message was repent. And translate repent says change your mind. And definitely in what was happening in that environment, that the Messiah would come through the Jews. But the Jews received him not. You know what? There was a point there that the Jewish people, in order to know Jesus, had to really change their mind about who he was. They had to repent. And it was also repentance of changing your mind about your behavior and coming before God with repentance and saying, God, I want to change. I want my life different. I want to have victory in my life. And he was preparing a way, or you might say that softening the hearts of stone to receive the one God sent, Jesus. John's clothes were made up of camel's hair. You know what? They used to have a sport jacket made out of camel's hair. And that was really in style years ago. So maybe there was a lot of John the Baptist back in the 50s and the 60s. That didn't even know. But anyhow, I don't know what it really was, but that's what they called it. So his food was locusts and wild honey, not my kind of food, but people went to him from Jerusalem and from Judah and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And I really believe there's a coming of a time now that the gospel will have such a powerful effect on mankind. They will be coming from all parts of the world to want to just hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the King is coming back. I don't know when, but boy, I think it's sooner than I think. Now, he said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers. That kind of way of saying that, right? It says, I think he said a little more emphasis, you brood of vipers, you know. But he says, who warn you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit keeping with your repentance. In other words, have your life match your faith. You know what? Here's something, a key to know. Any really powerful kind of words that you need to change from John the Baptist and also from Jesus was to the religious. The religious. He never said an unkind word to sinners. Except, come to me. Come to me. He had compassion over people that failed. He didn't have much compassion for pompous righteousness and saying one thing and doing another thing. That's an interesting point that John the Baptist really did this, and Jesus also did that. And do you think you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father? I tell you that out of the stones God will raise up children for Abraham. The axe already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I said this a number of Sundays ago. When Jesus comes back, it's not going to be a good thing for people that rejected him. He's coming back with judgment and truth. And John the Baptist was really addressing the religious people and saying, your religion, if that's all you have, is you're ready for the axe to cut you off. Stern words. Stern words. A word to us who believe. A word to us who believe. Take on, you can make a sermon out of this and say, judgment, judgment, judgment. Beware of judgment. And people can leave in total fear that, man, if I misstep, I'm done for. If you misstep, you go to Jesus, ask him to forgive you and the right and just thing, because he shed his blood for you and I, is to forgive you and get a restart from anything that you failed. And eventually the hope is that you'll actually be transformed from within. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after you come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. You know what's probably the weightiest thing in the world is coming to Jesus or rejecting Jesus. God has heaven gates open for those who receive an unquenchable fire for those who reject. It's so hard to say, but it's true. It's true. Rejecting Jesus is the greatest failure anybody could make. You know, I'm glad for being raised in a family that loved Jesus, and to be with my mother, to hear her say in her dying breath, it's so beautiful. To say, wow, God has so much in store for you and I when our last day comes. You know, like Evan never planned at 37 years old to be gone. But heaven's gates were open to him. And somebody said, and you know, God does not give a spirit of fear, right? But power, love, and a sound mind. Something that all of us could, to some level or another, have to deal with in our life is the fear of dying. But God wants to share with us, I've conquered death. I've conquered death. What we do is we leave this tent, because the real you is inside and the real me is inside. And that's what lives through eternity, either with God or someplace else. Then Jesus came to Galilee, to the Jordan, to to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John conceded. Yeah, aren't those kind words? John was trying to conceive in his mind who actually Jesus was, but he at this point he heard about him, he knew about him and everything else, and said, you know what, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. And the key here is that Jesus was saying, no, John, it's okay, John. It's okay, John, because we have to fulfill all righteousness. Because Jesus is the only one that could make us right before the Father. And he said, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. And it might be hard for you, and you think I'm greater than you, but you know what? We need to do this. We need to do this because what was going to happen was going to affirm exactly who Jesus was. And he conceded. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. I'm sure John never realized when he conceded, said, okay, I'll do it. Because you said this, I'll do this. It reminds me of Peter. He said, throw your nets on the other side. Because you said it, I'll do it. And in life, if God says something to you and I, we have a choice. Do it or don't do it. And we'd be much better in life to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. You know, I had one of those yes moments. All this grief and stuff was going on in the hospital room and the weeping and crying. And the mother came to me weeping and crying, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I know if you lay hands on my son, he'll be healed. And I had to tell her, I said, I'm not God. I will lay hands. Out of obedience, I can't pray anything else but you're healed. But it's God that heals and God that knows. So I prayed for him. And then I walked down the hallway and there's all these firefighters. And I said, awkward moment. Yeah, awkward. Holy Spirit says, gather them together and tell them about me. So I said, hey guys, they don't know me for nothing. Hey guys, come on together. I want to share with you some things. So I had maybe 8 or 10 firefighters all around me in the hallway. And I said, you know, I appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. I want to tell you something. I had surgery and at the offset, I lost 6 units of blood. They had to transfer me to another hospital. And one of you guys was in the back. I was laying there weakened and in distress. And my body was actually dying. And all I could hear, I couldn't conceive everything. We were leaving Libertyville and going all the way to South Side of Chicago. And as we're going, and one of you men that are a paramedic and trained for this was... You were trained to help me and cover me physically. But the person back there spent that whole time on that trip from Libertyville to Southside Chicago praying for me. He said, sir, you're going to be okay. Sir, keep awake. Don't close your eyes. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. God's in this. He's helping you. And I'm hearing all these words of comfort all the way from Libertyville to the south side of Chicago. And the truth of the matter was, God did help me. They found out my nicked artery, and they found out I was bleeding and losing blood rapidly. And they fixed it, and they gave me blood. And I'm here today. Because a paramedic, in all his training, knew something else. He knew the power of God in prayer. So I shared that with those guys. And I shared with them about the reality of who Jesus is. And I could see some of them. And then one of them, this is crazy because it was so spontaneous. Here's a whole bunch of them all around me. And one was highlighting me. I said, "You, sir, God has highlighted me to you, you to me. And you know what? You need to know how much God loves you." And the other guys nodded their head. "You got the right guy. You got the right guy." But so it was amazing. But in all the grief and situation that was going on in that room with this Evan laying there. If you've ever seen somebody in life support, it's not an easy thing. But he's laying there, speechless. Machines breathing for him. Looks healthy, but doing nothing. And in all the grief and the crying and the sadness, and as Nancy mentioned, you know what? The worst thing as a believer we can do is say, "I'm cutting you out of my life." And see all the grief and see the one saying, "I wish he could come to life again so I could talk to him again. He's gone. I have no choice, no chance of any reconciliation." And they're carrying a heavy load on them. We have a God that can empower us. And we're going to find a little bit about that later. Yes, Jesus was baptized. He went out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open. John never thought that day, baptizing Jesus, that when one of the other gospels said, he saw it, he heard it. Jesus saw it, he heard it. And John, the Baptist, became a witness of the truth of heaven and God and the Father and his great love. He never thought that would happen, but it happened. And it says, and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my," I'll say the old granny, "beloved Son, in whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And you know what? It's the most powerful thing you and I can do, and I try to remind many of you every Sunday, you're greatly loved and highly favored. The most powerful thing you and I can do is to acknowledge how much you're loved by God. And acknowledge that truth. Then, whatever we're going through, we can go through as a victor, not a victim. Because you're loved. Because you're loved. And I heard a sermon the other day that really referred to that. Because what happened right after this event? You know what happened? What the gospel account? Right after this, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And it was kind of funny what I heard. It says, here they just experienced this great acknowledgement who Jesus was, God, man. This is my beloved son whom I well please. When he went into the wilderness to be tempted, the devil, when he came to him, left that most important thing out. He said, if you are the Son of God. He didn't say what just happened days before when heaven was open. If he would, imagine if he would have said, if you are God's beloved son. He would remind Jesus of really who he is. But he cut that out. If you are the Son of God. The truth to you and me, acknowledge how much you're loved. Never tire of it. When you get up in the morning, afternoon, when you put your head on the pillow to sleep, say, God, I thank you that I'm greatly loved and highly favored. And you know what? When you and I do that, when we acknowledge his great love for us, the difficult times of life, and they come, and they will come, different levels, sometimes rougher than others, and you know, some really tough times, and some not so tough times, but still tough times. When you acknowledge how greatly you're loved, that raises your confidence that everything's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay because I'm loved. I'm loved by my Heavenly Father. I'm not only loved, but greatly loved. So what I'm going through, Father, I'm willing to go through it, but I know I'll go through it. I know I'll make it to the other side because you love me. Because you love me completely. Now, if long as we're talking about baptism, chapter 3, also recorded in Mark, Luke, and John, something happened in the book of Acts that we also have to bring up because the conversation about baptism came up. So we're going to look at this, Acts 19. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. And I tell you, if you ever get a chance, I walked the streets of Ephesus. I was there. This is an amazing uncovering by archaeologists. So amazing as they uncovered the roads, even the grooves in the roads from the chariots are still there. And you see the two grooves. And then you walk through that city and you see all these temples written up to other all different gods. Man, we might not have temples with gods, but boy, we have a lot of gods working in America and throughout the world that we maybe inadvertently are worshiping when we should only be worshiping the true God. It was a beautiful thing to walk the streets of Ephesus and see that. And think about that. Paul was walking on these streets too, and he was fearlessly sharing the gospel, which we're going to find out in this chapter next. And when he found some disciples, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We did not even hear there was a Holy Spirit. A key part of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they were ignorant or lack of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. So Paul asks, what happened? What baptism did you receive? And they all were clear about it. Oh, John the Baptist, they replied. See, what John the Baptist did carried on after his death. And people were talking about this prophet of God, John the Baptist, and what he had done. And there was conversation. So they said, yeah, sure. We heard about John the Baptist, and we were baptized in John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John baptized you was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there was about 12 men. It was just a group of guys. A group of guys. And this conversation took place. When he laid hands on them, there's a lot of gifts. There's a lot of gifts that we operate in, and they're all important. They're all important. But the only two were mentioned here when he had this conversation and brought these 12 men to the knowledge of Jesus and who Jesus was. And Paul placed his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Two very important gifts that sometimes some churches fight. But speaking in tongues is such an important gift, and it's sad when some of God's church rejects that, because that is purity in prayer. That is so pure that my heart's desire and what's going on in my heart is completely accurately communicated to the Father. Now, saying that, sometimes my prayer life in English can get a little skewed with the flesh. I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. In prophecy, two things, tongues and prophecy. In prophecy, we practice in this church, and if we have time, we'll do it today. But two gifts are highlighted, tongues and prophecy. And when we speak out with our own heart, it can get can get skewed. I'm going to give you an example. I was very surprised. I went to Kentucky, and I was very surprised when the pastor said, "There's Byron over here. He's going to come up here and talk and give encouragement to what he's going to pray." Now, he's going to pray for the four people being ordained. Thank you. Ordained. And so I'm sitting there saying, "Oh, man, I'm getting older. What am I going to say? You know what? I struggle with the flesh just as you guys struggle with the flesh. And while I was sitting there contemplating what I was going to say, the first thoughts that came to my mind were exactly the flesh. Exactly the flesh. I say, "Man, I'm in this Pentecostal thing, and they're all hopping and screaming, and all of a sudden, I'm still up there in prayer." So I said, "Oh, they need to know in my prayer that, man, I was ordained and had hands laid on by Benny Hinn's mother. I, got to watch out for the I. I was ministered to a black pastor called Frederick Casey Price. And God gave me an opportunity to sit with him, next to him, and share with him one-on-one. And it was a really blessed time. So all this thing, I was like, oh, man, I need to share this with this. I need to let all these people know. And then I'm sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit where he said, Byron, no. Because what makes a difference is that you know me. Not that Benny Hinn's mother laid hands on you, not that you rub shoulders with Fred Price. This is all about the flesh. And shut it down. Don't you dare say that in front of people. You know what? I know if I go through that, you go through that. And you want to puff yourself up and say all this thing, man, it's all about me, all about. When it gets to be all about me, shut it down. And start listening to the God of the universe. And make sure what you're saying is raising him up higher. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So he says he placed his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came on them. And then Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them and took the 12 with him and had a discussion daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. There's an evidence here. These guys, the 12 men, and I'm glad it's 12 men because you know what? Men, I think women are softer and ready to believe more than men. And I'm glad it was 12 men. And he went through this whole discussion. Now, the thing is this. When you and I came to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. In what role? To affirm us as children of the Most High. And that happened to me. I gave my life to Jesus. But the person that led me to Jesus and said, Byron, you must drive all the way to Franklin, Pennsylvania, because I just want 1 week with you, Byron. Earl Tigard, I want 1 week with you. I want to spend 1 week with you. So I got my car, drove to Franklin, Pennsylvania, and he gave me a little room. And I saw all these Japanese people all around, and I said, what's the deal here? He says, my ministry is training Japanese to go back to their country and fearlessly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the first day in the first day there, he said, Earl Tiger says, man, I'm glad you came. I'm glad to have a week with you. And I want you to do something for me. Every night or every waking moment that you have during the day and night, every waking moment, I only want you to know what the book of Galatians says. For this time this week, I just want you to know that. The book of Galatians, just overview is our salvation is strictly by grace and love of God, not by what we do. Law can never fulfill the requirement of God. The blood of Jesus does. So in that week, my other assignment was to be by his side every waking hour. I was with him as he was ministering, as he was making phone calls, while he was communicating one-on-one with people, while he was ministering to multiple people. I had to be by his side every waking moment with him. At the end of the week, he gathered three or four other men, and he said, "Byron, I know you're a believer. I know you're saved. I know the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, we want to pray for you to ignite the Holy Spirit in you." And I didn't know what was happening. I never even heard of that. I said, "Well, I'm up for anything, brother. You know, just do it. I mean, I'm up for it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what in the world was going on. I thank God I have the Holy Spirit, this igniting the Holy Spirit in me and having it become a power force in me. I don't know anything about that, but go for it." So they did. They did, and I felt nothing. I felt no feelings, nothing. Nothing. Until I got my car, drove home, and opened up the Bible and started reading. And I said, "Yikes, what is happening here? These words are bouncing out at me. My mind is flying with God's truth." And I said, "Yikes, something's changed here." It took years later, because I was resisting this tongues thing. I said, resisting the fact that I am convinced of I'm not faking nothing. God, I'm sorry, I'm not faking nothing. If this is something that's real and going on, you know, I desire it, but I don't want no phony baloney, no faking, no nothing. But I want all that you can give me. I want it. I want it, but I want it to be real. So I was invited to a place where basically I'd be intimidated. I'm a man working with my hands. I'm a man in a metal stamping business, pounding presses, oil flying all over the place, and trying to solve issues and all that, and just in the manufacturing world. And all of a sudden, I'm invited. They said, "You know what? We heard about you, Byron. We want you," because this is after, of course, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and just trying to work it through my mind. "I want you to go to a house in Lake Forest, a huge house in Lake Forest, near the lake. And I want you to share whatever is on your heart. Their present is going to be a whole bunch of multimillionaires, doctors, lawyers, professional men and all that." And I said, foolishly, I said, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll come." I was just scared out of my life that me, just this guy in a metal stamping company, going before all these doctors, lawyers, professionals and all that, all these very successful men. And I was saying, what in the world do I have to share with them? And I waited on the Lord. I said, "I put myself in here, Lord. I don't know. My English is not even that good." Nancy has to correct me all the time. You didn't say that right. You know, get your words right. I mean, this is. I'm gonna go there, and they're gonna say, "Who's this fool they brought before us?" So the night before, Nancy goes to bed, which is very unusual in our house because I'm the morning person, she's the night person, and she went to bed, and now it's getting really late at night because I'm just trembling, saying to myself, "God, what am I supposed to share with these men? What am I supposed to share with these men? And the Holy Spirit says, well, I got, as long as you're asking, I got something. I got something for you. I mean, this might be out of your comfort zone, but I want you, these men will patiently wait on you. I want you to share the whole book of 1 Peter. And what is the message there? I said, my Lord, I mean, yikes. So I opened up the Bible and I started reading the whole book of 1 Peter. And as since I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, as it was, things are being highlighted. Wow. Just every chapter, things, wow. Things are just going, downloading about the all every word spoken there in 1 Peter. And then I closed my Bible and I put it on my chest. It's getting late now. I got to get a little rest. Could go before all these high flyers. And I went to pray. But the Holy Spirit just had me pray in a language I did not know. And yet, as I was praying, my spirit became alive. And the only English word that came out of it was amen. Went upstairs and went to bed. Slept like a baby. Babies don't all sleep well, though. But anyway, but then I got up in the morning. Now here. In the book of Acts, arguing persuasively. I went before, and there's about 20 or more men there. And I said, guys, seemed like a big chore, but I'm going to go over 1 Peter with you and what the reality of that. And it's going to define for you and me who Jesus is. And I woke up going to that house where I was so intimidated, so not wanting to go. But after praying in the Spirit that night, woke up with peace and confidence to go in a very uncomfortable place and share Jesus. Now, I left there and said, wow, thank you, Lord. Words spoken in the flesh go nowhere. Words spoken in the Spirit find fruit in people's lives. Years later, Nancy and I went to Hawthorne Mall, just walking around. And by the way, I told Nancy, I said, I hate shopping, but I love being with Nancy. And if she loves to shop, I love to just be by her side and watch her shop. And so rejoicing when she can't find anything. So we're in a Hawthorne Mall, and this man approaches me. You're Byron. Yeah, I didn't know him. I mean, there was a bunch of men at this house in Lake Forest. I couldn't remember, except the people that invited me. I didn't know who these people were. He said, I was in a house in Lake Forest and heard you talk. Now, it's years later. I can remember everything you said. And it was life-changing. I just want to let you know. Speaking of our own knowledge and the flesh, might give us some goosebumps, might give us some, especially however it's delivered, might give you some kind of encouragement or something else, but it's not long-lasting. Speaking. When I sit here before I preach, God prepares my heart, but I say, God, from your throne, let my voice echo your heart to your children, because you love them very much. And spoke. Arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Now, we have some minutes, and if, move this over the side, if you've never had anybody pray over you to ignite the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you got to put pride aside, get humble, and say, yeah, no, that's never happened to me. But I'm willing to. So if you're here this morning and you received Jesus, you were born again, you've asked him in your life, and part of that deposit is the Holy Spirit to affirm that you're his child, and affirm that when you finally die, you're going to go in the presence of God and give you all that affirmation of who you are. In other words, the security of your salvation. But if you never had anybody pray for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's so defined in Scripture that that is a reality, and I'm telling you the truth, it is a reality because it happened to me. And it happened to me, not so all I wanted, but it happened to me even with cautiously entering into it, but said I'm willing. And God's word changed to me. I started doing things that I never did. God brought opportunities to me. And most of all, God gave me them a new boldness to share the love of God through Jesus. So if you're here and you never had anybody lay hands on you to pray, to empower or ignite the fire, he'll baptize you with fire, the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, in fact, worship team, come up here and start worshiping. I think this is a holy moment. This is an opportunity for some of you guys to really, don't look for feelings and all kinds of crazy things happening, but believe that it will happen and God will show you the reality of it. Too much in that Lexington Church, man, talk about craziness. I mean, it was Pentecostal, they were bouncing off the walls, but that's not what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's God igniting you to be used to expand the kingdom of heaven in a powerful way. That even if you meet doctors, lawyers, and millionaires, you'll be able to share with boldness and love and confidence because of the power of the Holy Spirit within you. It's not about you, it's all about him. So if that's not, if they're worshiping, I'm going to stand here and you can come here and I will be happy to lay hands on you that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit and power. Okay? Is that okay with you guys? So, go ahead.